Hello, and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host,
Kayla. Now, as always.
Tell me, what's so funny about me? I amuse you? I make you laugh? I'm a clown? I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Did you have to write that down, or did you have that on the top of your head? No, I didn't. I remember that.
I've seen that scene before.
You got to do it more Italian than that.
I'm only 25% Italian, so I don't have enough in me to make it.
I wish I could do Italian.
It's also a little too late to do a full Italian accent, you know.
Tell me what's Italian about that. I don't know how to do Italian.
Tell me what's Italian about that.
That's my country Italian.
Your country Italian.
Yeah.
So, person from Italy.
Who lives in Texas.
To Texas. And starts a mafia in Texas. That would actually be pretty cool, the Texas Mafia.
Yeah, they ride around on horses.
It's like a cowboy movie, but they're Italian.
We gotta whack them off, John. Don't get whacked. Don't get pinched.
He's a made cowboy.
Mamma mia. I'm a cowboy Italian.
This is a real spaghetti western now. This is perhaps the worst intro to an episode in the history of episodes. Before we go right into the episode, I do want to quickly re-promote our website, because we promoted it both times last episodes at the end of the episode, but I just wanted to give a quick promotion at the top of the episode because not everyone always listens to the ends.
Mm-hmm.
Me included, you know, I don't always listen to the end of podcasts. So
uh-huh.
We do have a new website, so you can check it out if you want to. The link will be in the description, the show notes. And right now we have one post up, just a welcome post, but we're hoping to post at least once a month each on there, some reviews, essays, different things about movies, basically anything we want to talk about that we can't really make a whole episode about, or maybe the other person isn't as interested in, but we want to try to share our thoughts on. You can also listen to the podcast there, obviously, as well as some custom playlists of our series, including this one, which is We've Never Seen. So if you want to listen to all of the We've Never Seen episodes, maybe we'll link that in the show notes too. You can check out that playlist. We've done quite a few now. But yeah, this is probably the series we've done the most of. So that's exciting. And, you know, the first We've Never Seen we did was, do you remember what the first one we did was?
We did The Godfather.
Yes, we did. And this is kind of like a return to the roots of Secondhand Film Critics. That was the second episode. Because we did the meat intro episode, then we did Toy Story 4, and then we did Godfather. So pretty early episodes. So this is like all the way around to that.
Yeah, full circle. Mafia.
Full circle, back to the mafia. It always comes back to the mafia. That's what I say. Which is kind of true if you look at American history.
They do control a lot.
The 1900s. So. Yeah, they do. It was funny. I was watching... Actually, I think that was because I was looking up some scenes on YouTube afterwards to like rewatch a couple scenes. And then I got a bunch of like mafia YouTube videos where it was like how the mafia economy works. And this mafia, ex-mafia member reviews old movie scenes. So like now all my YouTube
I've seen that video.
Just mafia videos.
I watched the guy from the mafia guy who reviewed movie scenes and said whether or not they were like real.
Oh, I watched a similar one that I think you would like. That it was like an ex-jewel thief or whatever that reviewed heists or something.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it was something similar to that. So
oh
that
my
was
gosh,
exciting.
I gotta find that one. That sounds
it was
like
funny
right up my alley.
Because the whole time he was like getting really into it, and then like every 2 minutes he would stop and say, "But by the way, I don't do this anymore. This is illegal, so don't do this." But he was like obviously really like.
It's exciting.
Into it. Yeah, it is exciting.
I get really excited about it. I listen to a heist podcast that talks about like different heists. Because like true crime, not my thing. But like crimes that are like heist crimes, love it. And I listen to it and they talk about the heist. And I'm like, wow, I could do that. But I won't because it's illegal.
Gotta say, I felt really bad for you in this movie when they set up a heist and then they didn't do the heist.
I know. They were like...
I was... was a little disappointed for you.
This is going to be the biggest heist of all time. We're going to be getting all this money of unmarked cash. And I knew exactly what their plan was because that is true. Like, the Treasury brings in money on planes. Well,
it's a very famous heist, too. Yeah. They have other movies about it.
And it's like, excuse me, like, hello, I would like to see this heist, please.
They probably didn't have the budget for it, because that was a pretty big heist.
Yeah, they
it reminded
were just
me like of the Tenet heist, kind of.
We're about to pull off the biggest
airplane
heist of all time, and then millions of dollars of unmarked cash. And then it's like Christmas, and they're like, wow, we're so rich. It's like, are you kidding me? We couldn't even get like a small 5-minute montage of this heist. They do that. They have an airport heist in the season, the series finale of White Collar. It's the biggest heist that they pull off, where they develop this algorithm for the airports to figure out what airport they're bringing the unmarked cash in, and then they use the old postal system to like send the cash through the old mail pipes. It's really exciting.
Good heist. With the internet and stuff, I feel like heists have gotten not as exciting. Like,
well, yeah, because you know, a lot of them are like computer based now. It takes a lot of hacking instead of like you don't really get with I mean, you can still rob places, but it's not nearly as exciting. Like, you can't really rob banks anymore because they don't really keep money.
You can't rob
in
banks. Come on.
Like,
they don't make
keep
heists
money
like they used
there
to.
And
no,
like,
yeah.
Like,
which
I would
is why
never,
this heist would have been great, because this was, like, prime heist time.
I would never be a thief now. I don't know. Some people can do it. Like, there's still good thieves now. It's illegal,
but,
there's good ones.
Though.
But I think the prime would have been, like, you know, 60, 70 years ago, when it was still, like, you could be on the news and all that, so you could still
get
popular
get your fame.
But it was less likely that you would be, like, on camera or would have to, like, know about computer hacking and all that. Mm.
Which is why these guys could do it, because I don't think these guys were, like, super smart, but this is
clearly
before, like,
not
9/11 security. And so it's, like, they kind of just can walk into this airport and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But let's kind of jump into the movie itself.
Yeah.
which we haven't even mentioned the name of. This is Goodfellas from 1990. This series we've never seen is basically us just looking at movies that we've never seen, usually bigger movies or ones that people talk about a lot. Usually I like to explain it as like ones that if someone brought up and you hadn't seen them, then you potentially would maybe just lie and say that you'd already seen them.
Yeah, you feel a little bit embarrassed. Like, people are like, oh my god, you haven't seen Goodfellas? It's like...
Which has happened with this movie. I've lied about seeing this movie.
Have you?
This
I
is
haven't.
One I definitely have.
I feel like this is one that hasn't ever really come up in conversation for me because I'm...
Interesting, yeah.
I don't know. It's more of like a film bro movie, no offense, but...
I mean, I haven't lied to film bros about it because I don't really know any, but I've just lied about it.
It's not as big of a deal for me to not have seen a movie like this because I don't usually watch movies in this genre anyway. So I'm not as ashamed to be like, oh, I haven't seen Goodfellas, because it's just not in a genre that I would normally watch anyway. So there's like a ton of movies in this genre that I just have not seen.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think, like, if someone said, have you seen Casino, I wouldn't be like, oh, I've seen it, even though I haven't seen Casino. I just feel like this is almost surpassed that. Like, this isn't, because I don't really watch mafia movies either as much. Like, I've seen The Godfather, because it's The Godfather. Like, I've seen, but I don't really, like, seek them out as much. I just think this is, like, kind of ascended to another level, because it's just, like, potentially maybe, like, top five biggest movies of the 90s. Just jumping into the movie quick, we'll just give some fun facts and stuff. I looked up a couple things. So there's just so much about this movie. So I'm just going to go over some of like the more fun things that I found. First of all, the day this comes out is the 21st anniversary of the wide release of this movie. that would be September 21st. And the day we record this, September 19th, is actually the anniversary of the limited release. So today is the limited release anniversary.
That always happens to us, and we never know.
It does.
Like, it's happened probably at least five times now, where we schedule an episode and then one of us is like, oh my god, did you know? Like this, like it happened with our Matilda episode, like the day before I was like, oh my god, did you know that it's Roald Dahl Day today? Like it's his birthday, like it's literally National Roald Dahl Day or whatever.
And the next day we were releasing Matilda, like we're just kind of psychic like that, I think. There's just like a spirit out there, the podcast spirit that is guiding us towards picking these movies.
Yeah.
This is based on the book Wise Guy by New York crime reporter Nicholas Pileggi. And so Scorsese read the book and then decided that he wanted to make the movie. I think he actually wanted to make it before The Last Temptation of Christ, which was in 1988. But that movie was also something where he wanted to make earlier in the 80s. And so when the rights for that movie opened up, he decided to make that before this. So it's kind of like he had a couple movies just in the pipeline. But then they made this. He wrote it with Pileggi. It took them 12 drafts to get it to the place where they could move forward. And I think even after that, they did a lot of like improv sessions and then wrote scenes based off of the improv that they did. So I don't even think like the final shooting script was the script that is actually in the movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of improvisation stuff going on. So he said that when he was going into making this movie, he wanted to capture the exhilaration and speed of the mob lifestyle. And so he wanted it to begin like a gunshot and then have it get faster from there. That was his words. Like a 2.5 hour trailer.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because now it's like that's kind of the norm. And I feel like we'll get into this. And it's not like this movie is edited slowly. But I feel like this movie is just edited normally now. Except in like a couple key scenes. But now watching this, it feels like this is almost normal, which kind of just shows how like overstimulated we are with editing now.
Mm, yeah.
Like movies are just so much faster now than they used to be. I think almost maybe even in part due to this movie, because this was such a big game changer with all that. One thing I thought was interesting is this is such a flex in your career, is that they were only able to secure funding for the movie once Robert De Niro actually agreed to be in it.
Oh, man.
So like no one would fund it until he agreed to be in it, which I mean makes sense, you know, they wanted a big star for it. But and this is kind of like paralleling his earlier film Mean Streets, which also De Niro was in, so I guess they figured that kind of would be a nice parallel to draw people back, like you saw him in Mean Streets when they did the same thing in 1973 and now you'll see him again in 1990. One thing I thought was interesting is that, so obviously they were alive when they made this, the real people that they portray in the movie were alive. And so De Niro actually called the real Henry Hill, who is Ray Liotta's character, several times a day to ask him how Jimmy would do different things. So like how he would walk and how he would hold a cigarette and take a shot and everything. So I thought that was really interesting. Like just him calling him like 5 times a day, like, so how would Jimmy read a newspaper? Like, just like random questions like that. So the role of Karen Hill was originally going to be Madonna, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Not sure I would have done that, which they didn't. So I think that was the right choice by them.
Yeah. The lady, I don't know who it was that played her. She did a really good job. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think she was one of the best like performances in the movie, I thought. And I think Madonna is like too well known that it would kind of stand out. I think it works that at least I didn't know the actress who played
Karen. Who she was.
So I thought that was nice because like I obviously knew the main three guys really well, or like you know their faces. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to have people like that were a little bit newer for me.
Yeah.
This I thought was interesting for a couple reasons. So Jules and Jim, which is one of my favorite movies, the first 2 to 3 minutes is very much like montage-y, very fastly cut. And the whole style from the movie comes from those first 2 to 3 minutes, he said.
That's cool.
And this movie now is 31 years old. And at the time Goodfellas came out, Jules and Jim was only 28 years old. So Jules and Jim was not as old as Goodfellas is now. Isn't that like just so weird?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm trying to like process
just process that information.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how far away 1990 is.
That's pretty cool though. 1990 is a long time away. Like you're like, oh yeah, the 90s, and then you're like, Oh yeah, that's like 30 years ago. Like,
dear Lord, geez. Yeah, 31. Like, that's what you think. Like, he's looking back at Jules and when he was looking back on that, that would be like us looking back on this movie or like something that came out in 1992, I guess more specifically, or 1993. So that's just really weird to me, stuff like that. So we have also obviously a lot of really cool tracking shots in this movie, which one is the Copacabana nightclub shot. And that actually, I found out, came about because they couldn't get permission to even go in the short way by the owners, and they were only allowed to go in the back way. And so because of that, then they shot it like that. So they only shot it like that big one shot through the back because they weren't allowed to go in the front. So that's pretty cool, I thought.
That's cool.
Because that was like my favorite shot. And that's like one of the most famous shots. And it's cool that like stuff like that they wouldn't have even done if they were just allowed to go in the front. And I think it really works because, like, I mean, he says that it's like his seduction of her and also like the lifestyle seducing him, like pulling them in. And also, I think it just is a really good visual way of showing, like, his power that he already has at that point in his life. So really cool. Do you know how many frames of blood they had to remove in order to get the R rating?
Oh, geez. Probably a lot.
Only 10.
Only wow. 10 frames. I would have guessed, like, 20 maybe. Like, because I feel like you got to... There's a lot of times that people get shot or
stabbed.
A lot
of shooting.
There's a lot of... I feel like there's still enough blood in it, too, as is.
Yeah, and I feel like it's interesting because I feel like they could have gotten a lot more blood in it now. Like, their movies are so much bloodier now, so, like, I think it was less the blood for me in this that shocked me, and more just, like, I think the, like, coldness of the violence is just a lot more different than it is now. But, like, now there's just a lot more blood in, but I think it's a lot less, like, realistically portrayed. So it's interesting, like... the different things that people cared about in, like, movies, like, getting R ratings then.
Yeah, when they stabbed that guy's head with the ice pick, I was like, ugh, don't love that. Yeah.
Lot of stabs.
Not a fan.
I think a lot of other people didn't like it, too, because they were at the first screening had 40 walkouts in the first 10 minutes.
Whoa.
That's a lot of people. Imagine that, like, that's your claim, like, you have to admit that every time Goodfellas comes up, like, wow, Goodfellas, one of the greatest movies of all time. And he's like, yeah, I walked out of the first screening in the first 10 minutes.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it is really, I mean, it is the first 10 minutes I think we'll talk about, but it's very, like, different. I liked it a lot. But I think, like, especially in the 1990, that probably was a bit of a shock. Another shock was they really hated the Henry's last day as a wise guy sequence. So, like, all spoilers, by the way, we're going for this episode, so... All spoilers.
The movie came out 30 years ago. We're good.
31.
31
years
ago.
When he's fully on the coke, like the last day before he goes to jail. They hated that scene because like it made them annoyed, which I guess he said was the point. And so after that screening, they went back and made it even faster with more jump cuts.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool because like, I don't know. I just think that's cool that they were like, good, you didn't like it. Now we're going to make it even more annoying, which I think like it's the perfect amount. So I'm glad that they did that. One thing that I thought was cool was they do this in other movies now, but I don't know if they did this before this, was he only used music that was released during the time of the scene.
Mm.
So like, I mean, you can see that with the time period, like the music changing with the time period, but also like even to the year. Like, if that song wasn't out, they wouldn't have played it, which was really cool, I thought.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And they did a lot of non-dialogue scenes to the music, too, which, like, there's some music in here where I would love to just, like, watch them act to, just in real life.
Yeah, especially, really cool. Too, because, like, the movie, that's harder to do because the movie spans over, like, a long course of time. Like, mm-hmm. So it's not like it's like, oh, yeah, this movie takes place in 1 year. So it'll be really easy to figure out all the songs that we can or can't use. It's like, oh yeah, the movie takes place over like this really long course of time. And this one scene is in, I don't know, whatever decade, whatever.
Yeah, they have to each day too. You know, they've got to like, even if they don't have the timestamp on the screen, which I think is like cool because now movies love to tell you like exactly what day it's taking place, and it's just so annoying. Like, I don't even know the day, guys.
Three
days till blackout.
Two days till blackout. 4 hours till blackout. Like, imagine if they did that here. Like, 6 years till arrest. 4 years till
345 days till they make the sauce with the slicing the garlic really thin.
Yeah.
342 days. No, but it's cool that they put that much detail into it, too. Like, that there is that. I mean, it's a real story, so I guess it's kind of a little easier than it would be, but. It was ranked best of the year by Roger Ebert, Gene Siskel, and Peter Travers, which is not surprising. It also was ranked best of the year by 34 critics. So, but those were just like the main big ones. Guess where this ranked on AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies list. This is the 10th anniversary edition, so published in 2007.
So on the
list of 100, where do you think this ranked?
And it was the number one movie of 1990.
That's what they said. Yes.
Okay. I don't know, like somewhere in between 70 to 80.
You're pretty close. Late
70. 92. Okay.
So like, I think you were on the right track though, that it didn't rank like super high.
Yeah, I would say like, you know, cause obviously we had so many iconic movies before then too. It would still be like, I would guess higher than 92. That's what you said, 92. Mm-hmm. But
92. Yeah, it makes. I mean, it's like, I think I can't see the whole list in front of me, but like off the top of my head, 92. I mean, it's still top 100. I think.
Yeah, I mean,
once you're in the top 100, it's like I really don't care where I am right now. I'm in the top 100. They ranked it 15th best edited film of all time in the Motion Picture Editors Guild. 48th greatest movie ever in the director's poll of 2012 Sight and Sound. A lot of different ones, so it's very, very famous, obviously. It's 2000, it was deemed culturally, historical, and aesthetically significant, which is only 10 years, which is pretty good. Like,
yeah,
that would be like Wolf of Wall Street right now, or last year being put in the National Film Registry. So that's like not a lot of time. They were like 10 years, you know, that's fine. It's good enough to go there. Academy Awards wise, this one won Academy Award. Do you know which one it won?
Not Best Picture.
Nope.
Maybe like editing or like an acting award.
Okay,
like best supporting actor.
Okay, so you're on the right track. So it did get nominated for Best Picture, didn't win. Got nominated for Best Editing, didn't win. It won for Best Supporting Actor. Who do you think won?
Well, Ray Liotta was the lead.
Correct.
So either Joe Pesci or Robert De Niro.
Correct.
I would say Joe Pesci.
He did. He won.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, this is
a fun game.
I think the thing is, like, Robert De Niro, like, his performance is really good, but the Academy likes giving awards to people who are like over the top, like not like more subdued performances. And even though De Niro's was good, his character was like a much more mellow character.
And someone he's kind of already played like somewhat in other roles.
But Pesci's is like so exaggerated and so like not overacted, but that's kind of what it is he's like selling it so well that it would surprise me if that like wasn't the one that won.
Yeah, right. Well, and he has that great speech where it's like he goes up to the podium and he's like, "This is a great honor, thank you," and just leaves, which is just so cool. It's so funny. Also, you were correct that she gave a good performance because Lorraine Bracco was nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Good for her.
She beat Madonna and she got nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Wow, we stan.
A real win.
Good for her.
And then this was the year of Dancing with Wolves. So that basically Dances with Wolves. So that like swept a lot of the bigger stuff.
Yeah.
At least best like screenplay and best film and whatever. Best director. So bummer for them. But he won in 2006 for Departed. Can you believe that he took him till 2006 for them to give Martin Scorsese an Oscar?
Yeah, that's crazy. The king himself.
What are they doing? He was making movies since 1970. Anyway, Do you have anything you found out about the production, anything you wanted to add to the conversation before we jump in?
No, because I did not read anything about it.
That's fine. That's fine. So we'll go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump into the review.
And we're back. Oh, I should do it in my Italian cowboy accent.
In your Italian cowboy accent.
How'd I do that? And we're back.
That sounds like Matthew McConaughey.
Well, he's a cowboy.
Not Italian, but one of the
he's
two.
He's not Italian. Yeah. Mamma mia, we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Oh my gosh. While we were gone, Kayla whipped out her book on movie.
A history of American movies, film by film. Look at the art, craft, and business of cinema.
That book. And is going to read with us a review she found. So she does have something to contribute.
Yeah, from a section entitled An Endearing Mob Tale. Since we talked about this scene, I thought I would share this review by David Denby, who wrote for the New York Magazine. Goodfellas is the greatest film ever made about the sensual and monetary lure of crime, and the whole perversely brilliant movie, an ambiguous celebration of murderous freedom, comes into focus in a single staggering shot arriving at the Copacabana.
Wow.
So you can see that it had the same effect then that it did now. I mean, we're still talking about it, obviously, but it's cool to see that at the time they were like, oh, wow, this is really impressive.
Yeah, for sure. I think the editing still, if it's like seems creative and not experimental, but just different today, I think that it would definitely seem like that in 1990s. So very cool. Very cool. So this week we are switching up our synopsis writing tradition. I wrote the synopsis for this week, because I was writing this run of show that we always have up here, and I couldn't find any good synopses that I liked. So I just wrote up this little synopsis here that I think is pretty good. So do you want to give this a quick read before we jump into our review?
I would love to. As far back as he can remember. As far back as he can remember, Henry Hill has always wanted to be a gangster. It's better than being president of the United States. It's being somebody in a neighborhood full of nobodies. So, when he gets a job at the local cab stand, Henry seizes his moment to immerse himself in the life of crime he's always dreamed of. As the years go on, Henry makes his way deeper into the mafia, working his way up to bigger and bigger crimes with his friends Jimmy Conway and Tommy DeVito. Not to be confused with Danny DeVito.
No, definitely not.
For these good fellas, murder, cocaine, and heists are regular everyday things, and spilt blood is just another mess to clean up. Will the sins of their past catch up with them? Or will they forever be the good fellas they always wanted to be?
Wow.
Wow. That was really good.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're a good fella.
Yes, I am. Man. So we both watched this movie.
We did, yeah.
We did. Was there any specific reason for why you hadn't seen this before, besides the fact, like you said, that you just don't watch movies like this?
Yeah,
like this isn't your genre?
Yeah, if I'm going to put on a movie, it's not going to be this one. That's pretty much it. Like, I would not normally select a movie like this. Like, I think the mob and the mafia is very alluring and very cool. We've talked about this before.
Definitely, they're gonna have to take this quote next time you go to court. You know, they're gonna be cutting this one right out. Like the evidence was all here.
Crime lords, awesome. You know, the whole boss thing, very cool. Maybe not the murder so much. That's why I'm more of like a heist person, because murder is just not for me.
They just murder the competition.
Yes. Kind of. Murder those safes.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just like, I would never, first of all, it's a longer movie. I mean, it's a little bit long. And second of all, like, I'm just not going to click on this if it's on Netflix or something like that. I'm going to click on something that's 90 minutes and usually a rom-com if I'm just like scrolling through something.
This could be a rom-com. I think Tommy and Henry have a little bit of chemistry.
They got a little bit of something going on.
There's a little something happening, you know.
I'm sure that they have I don't know.
I don't know. Something's going on, but we can continue.
Boinked in the off hours. Maybe in the freezer.
He made him a made man. You know.
You know. But anyway, how's come you haven't seen this one until now? This is more your speed of movie, I would think, than mine.
Well, the reason I haven't seen it in the last 2 years is because I knew we wanted to do this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have watched it by now. But that was really the reason I really wanted to watch it most. I was like, I really want to watch this.
It is on our... Yeah, so we have a running list of movies that we have not seen that would be good for we've never seen. And this one has been on that list for 2 years, basically.
And I already took away our chance of doing Boogie Nights because I just didn't want to wait anymore. I asked you, I was like, can I watch this? And you said yes. So this one I had to make sure we at least got this one sooner. In there.
I probably wouldn't have cared.
But I think they're very similar movies, and I wanted to have at least one of them in as an episode.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I wouldn't have been allowed to watch this when I was a kid. So
yeah, right. That's of course.
A main reason with the podcast, and even in the last 4 years, I mean, I feel like I watched other Scorsese movies before this just because, like, they were there. And then I think Goodfellas was on Netflix for a while, like a couple of years ago. But then by that point, we were already kind of planning this.
Yeah.
And so it's like, by that point, I was like, I'll wait. And I've seen a lot of his other stuff, so I just kind of watched them in a different order, I guess, than most people would have. But I always wanted to, obviously. I mean, I owned it. Like, I literally had this movie in my movie collection before I had even seen it. So...
Yeah, I watched it on HBO, so...
I watched the opening scene again on HBO because I wanted to write the synopsis, and I wanted to get those pull quotes
from the
beginning.
And you didn't
want to
have to get up and... put in your Blu-ray
I was at work, so I didn't have a Blu-ray. But also...
I do that sometimes, though. That's why I asked. Is like, sometimes own the movie, and I'm like, I literally would rather just use the remote instead of having to get up and put the movie into the Blu-ray player.
No, I understand. I understand. Totally, 100%. Also, when I watched on HBO Max, too, I watched the Scorsese intro, which I thought was very nice.
I skipped that,
You should watch. I would have skipped it too, because like, I feel like in those things they always give away parts of the movie because they
feel like watching it. It was like,
you should definitely watch it.
It was just kind of very long, like so long already that I just was like, it started playing and I was like, scroll.
You shouldn't have watched. I'm glad you didn't, because it gives away stuff. Mm. So it's like, I feel like they should say that.
They
like,
should include it as like an extra. Like, why do they include it in the main thing?
It is included as an extra, but they also put it at the beginning, I guess, which I think is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that. Because then it just makes it look longer. Like, they add it to the runtime. Not HBO. Love the stuff you guys have, but you guys need someone else on the app design team.
Yeah, they need to, like... have us consult. Like, I have so many ideas for them.
You know how they have like the curation collection?
Yeah,
be on that collection.
Okay, some of them are dumb and like don't act like they had the astrology ones, which I think was cute because astrology can be cute.
Astrology could be cute. Great quote.
Yeah, but then they did like Harry Potter ones, and they had one for each house, and I was like, that is so fun. I wish.
Which
that,
house
like,
do you think this movie would be under?
Probably Slytherin. House?
You think so?
Yeah, I think that's what someone would normally put it under.
But I feel like it's not, like, I don't know. I feel like it's not, it feels, I mean, more like a Gryffindor movie, not gonna lie.
I
not
mean, like, I think, personally, not to get into house politics, I think that it would be a Gryffindor movie.
That's what I just said. Okay. I think it'd be under the Gryffindor house.
Yes, but I don't think that they would put it under a Gryffindor.
Oh, no.
I think
they would
put
it under Slytherin because they're, like, bad
at Slytherin. I think if
Slytherin.
It was curated into a collection, it would be put under Slytherin. But I think that Gryffindor is the worst house because they're the Republican house.
Well, also, this movie, like, they act, that's kind of the whole point of this, where
they,
it's like,
act prim,
they
and
act
proper,
nice on the outside.
They act, like,
proper, yeah. Noble.
Slytherins, you know you're going to get stabbed in the back. Like, you just know, I mean, there's nice Slytherins. I'm a nice Slytherin. But
sometimes.
But you know that I'm gonna be straightforward and upfront with you. Like, I'm not gonna go behind your back and stab you. Like, if I shoot you, I'm gonna
shoot you
in the face. Like,
not in the back of the head.
Yeah,
in the front,
I'm not gonna ice pick you. Like, I'm probably tell you. Like, I'm gonna punch you in the throat, and then I'm gonna punch you in the throat. Like. That's
okay,
just
works,
that, you know?
Nothing after. That's the
murder.
One
I'm not a fan of murder, so, you know, all that. But I would punch someone if I needed to.
I'm not a fan. Some really great quotes for your upcoming trial.
It's too late.
I am not a fan of murder. Your Honor, my client once said in a podcast, she was not a fan of murder. So, as you can see, she didn't commit this crime. Anyway, personally, so I watched this, obviously. I liked it a lot. I think it's definitely just, like, a lot to process on a first viewing. I think it's actually pretty refreshing. Like, I know you said it's long, and it's longer, but comparatively, this is, like, a very short movie to, like, what I would expect. Like, The Godfather is, like, almost 3 hours. The Irishman is almost 4 hours. Like, the fact that this is 2 hours and 20 minutes, I was like, wow, that's actually not bad. Like, because they have a lot of story to tell. So I know it's going to be pretty, I know it's going to be longer, but I feel like today they would probably make this, like, 240 at least, just because, like, they can, because they know that people that watch these movies are,
we'll,
like, going to watch a longer movie. But, like, you don't always have to make it longer. I think
it was
fine.
Plenty long. I had to watch it in two sittings.
Wow.
I felt like I
mean,
watched
two sittings
two
isn't bad.
Movies.
I've watched movies in longer sittings. But I liked it a lot. I think, like I said, it's a lot to take in on a first viewing. It's interesting watching this after having seen both The Irishman and Wolf of Wall Street, because I feel like those were made in, like, not response to this, but, like, in correlation with this movie. Because Wolf of Wall Street is basically just this movie, but set on Wall Street. And then The Irishman is, like, this movie, but with a lot more emphasis on, like, consequences and age and a lot. It's a lot more depressing, I guess, which is maybe why I like it a little more, because The Irishman is, like, I don't know. I'm just a depressing guy, I guess. But it's just interesting watching this, like, after having seen those, because I was like, wow, this is a lot like Wolf of Wall Street. But I was like, wait, Wolf of Wall Street came out 20 years after this. So definitely it's the other way around. And also, like, Boogie Nights, like, Boogie Nights literally stole this entire movie. Like, there's even, like, the cut from the 70s to the 80s. Like, in the 80s, the 70s is all good. 80s is when they start doing cocaine. That's in Boogie Nights. That's in this movie. Like, they literally did the same thing. And, like, they use music that's only from the time period. So it's interesting having seen all those movies that are obviously supposed to be, like, in conversation with this movie, but then not having seen this until now. Like, it's just an interesting experience I don't think that many people have had, just because most people have already seen it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't like this movie.
Man.
It's just not my kind of movie. I think that's the main problem. And my other main problem, like I said, is I just, like, wanted stuff to happen. Like, I don't really care about their lives. I kind of more care about what they're doing. And they're, like, talking about heists, but then they're not doing the heists. And they're just, like, fighting with each other. Like,
yeah, but that's what you want. You want
that's
them to
not
kill
what
each other.
I want.
I like them killing
I'm
each
glad
other.
That
I think
you
that's the best part.
you enjoy that and you like this kind of movie.
You don't like when they're at the bar and then he's like, shine my, go get your shoebox. And then they have to like take out, like, keep him in here, keep him in here. And they keep him in there. And then they have to like, they like kill him at the bar and then they have to go bury him. I thought that was pretty cool.
No, I didn't necessarily like that.
It's a pretty cool scene.
I understand why people like that scene, though. It definitely is a good sequence. Not my movie at all. My kind of movie. Not for me. That doesn't mean there were things that, like, I didn't hate all the things about this movie. I just, like, didn't particularly enjoy my time watching it because I just was kind of bored.
Wow. That's so funny. I was, like, not bored at all. This is, like, a movie I would watch, like, 50 times, probably.
Yeah. Which like, is I could have watched this again
the next day.
We normally have at least similar opinions about things. It's very rarely that I very much dislike something that you like. Like, mm-hmm. even if one of us likes something more, the other might be more, like, middling on it. But, like, mm-hmm. I think on this one, we're on pretty much opposite ends of the spectrum for it.
Well, I don't, I think we agree on, like, The Godfather, which I think, like, I rated this the same as The Godfather, but I would never rate The Godfather probably, like, any higher than a 4 out of 5, just because, like, there are things about it that just I don't really like as much. I think, like, just aspects of the filmmaking. But with this, I could see myself rating this higher, because, like, I don't know. So
I think I enjoyed this is just The like a Godfather different kind of movie. More.
Wow. I think The Godfather is like, it's. I mean, it's fine. I think it's a good movie.
I mean, it's been two years since I've seen it. So
that's true. We've done the podcast. I was like, oh, I just watched it. But that was 2019.
I've seen a lot of movies since then.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a rewatch.
No.
We have only seen once. That's our next. That's a new series.
I think that I'm okay. I don't think I need to be rewatching The Godfather anytime soon. Maybe The Godfather Part 2. I haven't seen that one.
You should probably watch the first one again if you're going to watch this. Because they are very
so
connected.
So much work. But
second one's good.
Yeah. I don't dislike The Godfather. But that also still is not necessarily my type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did like The Godfather more than I liked Goodfellas.
Well, and I think for me, like, The Godfather is very much more just like a Shakespeare story where, like, rise to fame or that, well, in The Godfather Part 2, spoilers, is like fall from grace kind of thing. But I feel like Scorsese's movies are a lot more rooted in, like, spiritual elements and, like, action and repercussion or like penance for your sins.
Right.
And I just love any of that. Like, I mean, that's in the Mean Streets, which I think is just not as good of a movie just be on a filmmaking level, just because it's a very earlier film from him. And so I think like he just figured out how to do it better after that.
I haven't seen that one. So
no, it's fine. I mean, you don't have had to see it. Like, it's a very similar, just very similar themes. So I don't think it's like a surprise that this was about that. But I think that's just like something that's in all of his work, which is something I really do enjoy, which is actually why I think I do like Wolf of Wall Street and The Irishman better, because I think they do that last aspect better, which is like the penance aspect better, which I think this movie, like, it has that, but it kind of just ends. I think the ending is a little not underwhelming, but just not as emotionally satisfying, or just it doesn't give you as much as to work with, whereas like Wolf of Wall Street, there's a very long drawn out sequence where you see like, wow, this is the worst lifestyle I've ever seen. Or
I haven't
with the Irishman,
seen
like,
Wolf of Wall Street either.
But you've seen The Irishman, which Irishman, the last 40 minutes is like him just super depressed because like all of his friends are dead.
I think is a lot more powerful. I pretty much blocked that movie out of my mind because I don't remember it at all.
Wow. I love The Irishman. I think The Irishman is like a little better than this just because of that, because I think I'm a lot more emotionally attached to the characters in that, or at least to the main character.
I remember
or at least
watching
in this movie,
it.
You remember watching
The
Irishman.
I don't remember because it was so goddamn long, but I don't remember what actually happened.
I love The Irishman. I should watch The Irishman again. Maybe I'll do that later. I do love The Irishman. I think
good
that's the thing, like, with those movies, like, I don't feel the runtime in these movies because I just feel like they are always moving. So like the editing is always moving and the music is always moving. So there's always like something for me to focus on. And especially in this movie, the scenes are so good that like I just love every scene. Now, I don't know if this movie does the anthology kind of thing as well as other movies do, where like I think it's really hard to convey like a long span of time in a movie. And I think movies like The Irishman again, or even Boogie Nights or other like longer, like decade spanning movies, I think do that better than this movie. Cause that was one thing I felt, whereas I was very caught up in the pace of it, but I also sometimes had a hard time feeling that length of time, maybe because it was moving so fast, where it's like, oh, we're already like 20 years from when he was a kid, like at the cab stand. So I did have a harder time. Maybe that was one. That's one thing I didn't like as much, was the way that it conveyed time passing, which I think that he figured out to do better in other movies too. But
yeah, I mean, that's a hard thing to do when you're spanning that much time and like
it is. Yeah.
Trying to make it make sense and use parts of the story that are still engaging. But it's like, oh, I'm with the characters like 10 years later. How do I feel about them now? How much have they changed? Yeah, so the main character, Henry, it's hard to gauge his character arc, at least for me, because of how he evolved in that time. Like, I don't know. Like, you want to see, because obviously you can tell that being in that system for so long, like, affected their brains and, like, the way that they interacted with other people. Like, they felt like they were gods. And so I wish we could have seen more of that transformation, because it kind of just felt like it just happened, because we didn't get all that time where it was like deep seeding into his brain, this lifestyle. So it kind of just felt like...
It sounds like you want this movie to be longer. I think that's what you want. That's what it sounds like. Well, let's talk about Henry, because Henry is, I think, my biggest problem with the movie.
Okay.
Both...
Yeah. I would agree.
Both his arc, I think, is just not as well defined as it could be. Again, that's the same thing. I don't think it's as emotionally satisfying as other films. And I just think I don't really like Ray Liotta's performance in this movie.
Yeah, at all. I agree.
Like, I think Ray Liotta is just, like, especially when he's next to Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci, like, he's just so annoying.
Yes.
Like, I really just don't think he was the right choice for this movie. I know a lot of people like him. But maybe it's his face, too. He just has a really annoying face. And his voiceover in this movie, like, his voiceover in this movie is really annoying as well. Like, the way he talks is just not it for
me. The Mafia
was a big time.
I like the Mafia.
Why is he too... I don't know why the voiceover... Like, why are they... Why do they direct them to talk... Both even in, like, his wife. Like, they both talk like they're robots.
Yeah, the voiceover, they don't actually talk like they actually talk.
Right. They talk really slow, and maybe because, like, they were worried people weren't going to understand them, because, like, maybe 1990 audiences were a little different. Now audiences are a lot more used to that stuff, and there's subtitles online, too, so it's like, you can put the subtitles on, but that was my biggest issue, was, one, the voiceover, just because it's constantly happening, and I don't not like what the voiceover is doing for the story. I think the voiceover works fine, because it's supposed to be like, you're the jury, basically. That's what the ending is kind of saying, and he's kind of like telling you what his life is and asking you to judge what he did, which is fine. That's cool. But just the delivery really brought the voiceover down. And overall, just his performance, like, I just didn't like his performance.
Kid that played his character as a kid did a good job. I thought that
he was better. And the guy they got for Joe Pesci, Tommy, great. He looked just like him.
And he did a good job, too. And I was like, oh, these characters are fun. And then we got Ray Liotta, and I was like, meh.
They couldn't have done the same story, but I would have loved the whole movie to just be them, like the kids. Because that would have been that's not really a perspective we get a lot in the Mafia. Because there are, like, obviously this guy, he was in the Mafia since he was that age. So we don't really get, like, a whole movie about just kids that are, like, in the Mafia, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been, I think, because, like, that was probably,
so interesting.
I mean, it wasn't my favorite, it was one of my favorite sequences, but not maybe my favorite, but I love just, like, all the stuff when he was a kid. I thought it was really well done. And I would have loved just to see a whole movie just like about that. And I think they could really explore some interesting themes with like, especially with his dad who was abusive, and then like him needing to please the mafia to like feel accepted. I don't know. Like, that's a really cool idea that they did touch on, but if it was a whole movie, it could have been a lot like more in depth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then Ray Liotta comes in with his annoying face and fake laugh. And,
I know. Gosh. And he's just like so average. I mean, not that he needs to be not average, but like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just so average.
Like, it looks
and he
wise?
Acts average, both.
Or acting
like,
wise.
Like, acting
both, yeah,
and
okay.
The way he looks.
Well, it's telling that, like, it's telling that Scorsese, like, uses De Niro a lot. He uses Pesci a lot. He never used this guy again, you know?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
And Henry, like, is supposed to be this, like, I don't know. Like, he comes across the way his character is presented that, like, everybody thinks he's cool and everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. And everybody,
I don't feel like
you
that,
know,
though.
Respects him and all this blah, 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 blah. And the women want to sleep with him and all this
why?
Stuff. And
why?
Then, like, I get why Joe Pesci's character is popular, because he's funny.
He's a king.
He's charismatic.
Yeah, he's so funny.
Like, he's
when he
a
goes
clown,
with his mom,
he tells
his
stories.
So funny.
Like, he's a character. But then you look at Henry, and everyone, like, women are, like, they have all these scenes where the wife is like,
yeah, he has, like,
I know you're cheating on me, Henry! And it's like, why? Why are women sleeping with him? Like, he's not charismatic. He's not attractive.
He's not
cool.
Funny.
He
kind of
just
annoying.
Walks around and is like, heh, 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 heh. You're so funny, Tommy. Is that his name? Joe Pesci's character? Tommy?
Yes, Tommy. Yes. Tommy, Jimmy, and Henry. The
you're
the most
so
generic
funny,
names.
Tommy. Ha, 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 ha. That was a good story,
gosh.
Tommy. Ha, 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 ha. And it's like, boy.
Buddy, what are you doing? Yeah, it's like, I feel like, I don't know who they would have gotten for this role, but I'm sure there was other people they could have just
anyone,
done, you know?
Anyone else?
I mean, I know that they wanted originally, obviously, like, De Niro to do this role, but he actually didn't want to do it because he said he was too old, which I agree with. Like,
I agree. I mean, obviously, he
Henry's already supposed to be, like, he's already supposed to be in his 20s, and Ray Liotta is obviously not in his 20s. So, like, accepting that Robert De Niro was in his 20s would just be too much, like...
I don't know. Who else was in his 20s in the 1990s?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, God.
Imagine.
I'm thinking, like, Brad Pitt.
But Brad Pitt isn't Italian.
Oh, right.
That's a tricky part. Italian actors in the 90s.
Italian actors. 1990s.
All right. We're doing a live look through here. List of Italian-American actors. This is... He was born 1996. Noah Centineo came up. You know, Noah Centineo actually reminds me of Ray Liotta.
Yeah,
they have the
average,
same energy.
Average, that is the exact word.
They just, and their faces are very similar. Like, I feel like Noah Centineo could play this role in like 10 years.
Nicolas Cage,
that could work. I mean, he was in Moonstruck, you know, that's an Italian movie. Francis Ford Coppola is already like, already got that in because he's very famous. I think that could have been a good role. I would love that. I mean, Nicolas Cage was already in other Scorsese movies later, like Bringing Out the Dead. And I think another one, maybe. But yeah, that would be cool. That probably would have been one of the choices. I think...
Louis Lombardi.
Who's that?
He's in The Sopranos, I think.
Okay, I got a list of people considered for
Ralph
Henry
Macchio. He would have been
okay,
great.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Do you want to hear the four people they considered for Henry Hill I found?
Yes.
And so I'm going to say each one and you have to tell me
Sean
if you would have
Penn.
Rather had. Okay, that's one. Sean Penn was one.
Oh,
place.
Well, they should have picked him.
Should have picked him. So that's one that would have been better. Another choice was Tom Cruise. Which would have been a no. I would have rather had Ray Liotta than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Another choice, Nicolas Cage. There's
what?
One. Should have
there
picked
we
him.
Go. Mark
and
Ruffalo.
Then the last choice was Alec Baldwin, which that's also probably a no.
Yeah. But Sean Penn?
Sean Penn and Nicolas Cage. What should have been one of those two?
Stanley Tucci?
How old was Stanley Tucci during this?
He was born in 1960.
Stanley Tucci is a little like too much of a nice guy. Not a good fella. He's a nice guy.
But like, but man. Sean Penn would have been
great. should have cast someone else. I know this is going to be controversial, but I don't care. One thing I think with Henry that's not related to the acting that was good was the way that they, every time something violent happened, kind of showed you his reaction. Because I feel like that was one thing that set his character apart, that, and I think they could have definitely done this better. And again, I think like a lot of these ideas were definitely just made better in the future, which is just shows the influence of the movie. Like people took this and figured out a couple things that they wanted to emphasize that I think I like better. But something that they definitely tried in this was having Henry be more averse to violence than other characters in this movie.
Mm.
And have that try to be, I guess, the audience relatability aspect, which worked somewhat. So in the beginning, you have him with the, you wasted 8 aprons on that guy. So you have him, the guy coming, get shot, and he wastes 8 aprons.
Yeah, yeah.
But each time something violent happens, if you watch him, like, he has a very different reaction than everyone else. Like, he looks like, probably, like, similar to what you would look in that situation if you just saw someone get shot in front of you.
Oh, I would definitely look, I would probably pass out, so I would be on the ground.
But, like, well, I think that's how he acted when he was a kid, almost. And so, progressively, though, as it goes, he gets a little less shocked by it until at the end, like, he's just basically numb to it, which could maybe be also represented by the cocaine. Like, the cocaine is making him numb to killing. I don't know, just a thought. But that was one thing I did like, is they were trying definitely to give you that relatability aspect with Henry. Maybe it would have worked better if it was someone I liked more as an actor playing the role. I don't know how much we want to talk about, like, what else we want to talk about the movie. We're kind of just jumping all around. Is there any other performances that stood out to you, maybe smaller roles besides, like, the main roles that we've already kind of touched on?
Not that I can think of. I literally can't even think of any other characters besides a wife and Henry.
What about Paul Sorvino?
Who's that?
Playing Polly. I thought he was nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was good.
I thought he was good. Like, especially that scene when he has to, when he, like, just gives him the $3,000 or whatever, $3,200.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was a pretty good scene. Because, like, I think it really shows how, like, screwed Henry is, basically. Like, this guy, out of all the mafia guys I've seen in all the mafia movies, this guy seems like the nicest mafia guy. Like, the only guy I'd maybe want to, like, talk to. Because, I don't know, he's, like, he's cutting his garlic with a razor, like, to get it nice and thin. When they were in the prison, by the way, like, that was a vibe. That prison scene, making the pasta. That's one of those scenes where you watch it, like, so there's this Grand Budapest Hotel kind, and then definitely Paddington 2, where you watch it and you're like, man, I could go to prison. I think that sounds like a cool time.
Well, yeah, you have to think, like, that goes to show how much privilege these guys had.
Well, yeah, that was the point too. Like, they made a point, I think, of saying, like, this isn't what everyone else was experiencing, but we had these inns and we were able to kind of, like, just live it up in the kitchen and get all this wine and stuff, which I thought, again, they have, like you said, it's a cool way of showing, like, even on the inside, when you think, oh, we've won, these guys are in prison, like, they're still, like, living the life, basically.
They're still just vibing and hanging out.
Yeah, which, you know, I'd love to go. I'd love to be there. I would have.
In prison?
Well, no, I'd visit them and have the meal and then would leave. I wouldn't go to prison. We're both incriminating ourselves so much in this episode.
This is why we should not watch mafia movies. This is exactly why I need to not watch mafia movies.
Your Honor, he said he would love to be in prison. So obviously, let's just put him where he wants to be. With the influence of this movie, we've already kind of talked about some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the editing, do you see any, like, influences that you were able to catch with, or just stuff that you think maybe was influential for the time that maybe made this movie something that people were like, oh my gosh, this is the best movie of the year?
No, I was not even thinking about that at all when I was watching the movie. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, I don't know if I was either. I, like, the tracking shots definitely stood out, because, like, that is something that you don't even see as much now. I think I can see,
like, you know, movies that are similar to this, and maybe even, like, biopics that are similar to this.
That's a good point, because this is really, like, a biopic. Maybe some. Yeah.
Or, like, character films. I think you could see some of this film in, like, Zodiac or some other, like, Fincher-style films. like the way that Scorsese directs characters, and he introduces characters and kind of lets them hash it out on screen, I think feels similar to like Fincher characters types.
Yeah, Fincher's a good comparison, especially because Zodiac also spans a lot of years.
Our two film bros.
Quentin
Tarantino films, I think, on the influence.
I think this did have a lot of influence on Quentin Tarantino films, actually. Because, like, I think without this movie, I don't think Pulp Fiction would have been the same as it was. Because I think Pulp Fiction is edited a lot like this movie is edited. A lot of his movies are edited.
Yeah, I have not seen Pulp Fiction, so...
Wow. We should do, like, a Kayla's Never Seen. It should be the new series.
Well, that's what CinemaSwap is.
That's true. But I'm not picking Pulp Fiction because I just don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, right.
Also, I think Pulp Fiction's, like, good. But, like, I think I could pick better movies for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, with Scorsese, like... This was a really pivotal movie, I think, for him, because the 70s were great. And then in 80, he made Raging Bull, which was like, again, his other comeback, because he was on a lot of cocaine. And then Robert De Niro was like, I'll only make this movie if you stop doing cocaine. And so he stopped. And then they made Raging Bull. So pretty cool story. But then the 80s, rest of them are not great commercially. This movie came out and it did amazing. Obviously. But then he doesn't win the Oscar, and like he just comes out with so many hits after that, and then he's still coming out with hits. Like, this movie kind of started a new era, I think, for him, or like jump started him into a new bunch of films, you know, like that we might not have seen if it wasn't for this. Because like his movie before this was New York Stories, and Last Temptation of Christ was like his last like movie he did, which was not well received and did not do good. So if this movie didn't do good, I don't know if we would even have had a lot of the movies that we got after this.
Yeah, we never would have had Hugo, 2011. You know what?
Hugo is definitely underrated.
Hugo slaps.
It does.
It has Asa Butterfield in it.
It does. He's very little. Like, I remember, it's one of those things where you watch that movie when you're a kid and you're like, wow, this guy's so old. Or like, you think he's like... But then you watch it now, like, I saw a screenshot, I was like, this kid was a baby in this movie.
I had a major crush on him. A literal
baby. Wow.
He was
We could talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
We could hash it all out.
When I was in, like, because that would have come out when I was in, like, eighth grade. Yep. I was, like, I had a big crush on him.
Did you read that book?
Hugo?
I thought that was pretty good. That was a pretty good book.
I did not.
Wow. I've read a book that you did, a kid's book that you haven't read?
Can you believe that? That's crazy.
This is actually a pretty big development. It's not really a book. It's a picture book mostly, but it's
but
really
no,
cool.
I haven't read it. Maybe I'll get it from the library.
Well, anyway, I don't have like a ton to say about Goodfellas. Mostly because, like I said, I've only seen it once. I think a lot of things with this kind of movie, I feel like whenever I watch these kind of movies, I think like I try to rate them as fairly as I can, for the moment I feel them in, and so like I rated this an 8. Out of 10, and I don't think I would ever rate it any lower than that, but I could maybe see myself rating it like a 9. I don't think I would ever rate this a 10. This is not a 10 for me for the reasons we mentioned, the performance, Ray Liotta's specifically, which maybe sometimes, you know, you could look by a performance you don't care about, but when it's the main character who's also voiceovering the entire movie, it's a little harder to forget. And also, I think, like I said, this same movie I do like, but I think there are other movies that I also like which did it better. I think this might be more watchable than, like, Irishman or Wolf of Wall Street. Like, Wolf of Wall Street is the most, like, emotionally draining movie, like, I've ever watched. So I would definitely watch this again before I watched Wolf of Wall Street again. But I think Wolf of Wall Street technically did this better than this
movie. Interesting.
So...
Yeah, I did not rate this movie on Letterboxd because I felt like I didn't really have a rating for it. Like, I didn't really like it. I understand the film influence it has. So I just was like, I don't really care to rate it because I don't care about this movie. If I did rate it, I don't know, it might be like a 2.5 or 3. But like...
Wow.
I also,
the shade.
I just didn't like it. I didn't like it.
The shade.
So I don't know. I don't know. I would say like maybe a 3, I guess, or a 2.5, maybe a 2.5. I don't know.
Wow.
I didn't like it.
That's pretty low.
I just it was so boring.
But
it was
also
so
boring. Irishman you rated 4. And okay. I think Irishman is a lot more boring
than
this.
That's wrong.
Which is interesting.
If I were to rate
the Irishman it's good, but it's a lot slower than this.
Yeah. I would need to rate it lower than that now.
That's the disrespect.
I would say Irishman. I don't even remember that movie. So
you probably have to watch it again because you obviously didn't remember the ending.
It's definitely not a 4.
It's a 4.5. We should watch it when you come. I have the Criterion. We can watch the Criterion.
I don't know. If I were to watch The Irishman again, I probably would give it like a 3 maybe, but I don't even know because I don't remember it and I'm probably never, ever, ever going to watch that movie again.
Wow. I will. I will be watching The Irishman again.
I don't care.
Hopefully soon.
Good for you. I'm glad that you liked this movie and I'm glad that you also liked The Irishman, but...
I do like The Irishman.
I'm glad that you liked this one.
It is really weird having seen those other ones before this, because I can't wait to watch those again after having seen this now.
Well, yeah, like he's perfecting his craft, making this type of movies in a way. So
well, and it's interesting too because I had seen Mean Streets before this, so I saw like, oh, this is definitely a lot better than this, but it's not as good as these. So it's like I saw the one that happened in the middle last. So that's sometimes what's fun about watching movies out of order, guys, you know?
Yeah.
You don't always gotta watch them in order.
Yeah.
Watch Star Wars 6 before Star Wars 5. Don't do that. I'm joking.
I
see where they were going with the story now.
The first Harry Potter movie that I watched was Half-Blood Prince. Like, I had not seen or known anything about Harry Potter. And then
that
we
might be
saw
the worst one to start with.
Half-Blood Prince with our cousins in the movie theater, and they had read all the books and watched all the movies. And so they were like, this is Ron, and this is Hermione, and this is Harry, and this is some of the stuff that's happened. And it was like, I don't know what's going on. But
is there a worse Harry Potter movie to start with? Maybe 7 Part 1?
I would say Order of the Phoenix would be very hard to start with. Like, anything from 5 on. Just because, much happens in Order of the Phoenix that's, like, with the Order and with, like, these characters. And they're like, why are we running into Ministry of Magic for this guy we don't know? So I think that is, like...
But I feel like Order of the Phoenix also introduces a lot of stuff. Like, the Dumbledore's army and... I haven't seen those movies in a while. Definitely, like, 5, 6, and 7. Like, don't start with
any of those. Yeah, I feel like anything, like, 1 through 4... I mean, Goblet of Fire might be a little confusing, but I think 1 through 4 you could probably watch and be pretty generally fine with, like, not being confused.
Especially the first two. Like, you could watch obviously the first one, but you could watch the second one.
But
obviously,
I watched Half-Blood Prince and wasn't, I enjoyed it enough that I was like, I need to read the books now. So.
Wow. It hooked you. It did its job.
It did.
Okay. So just to outro this episode, if you have any thoughts on this movie, you can just email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com and maybe we'll read your comments in an upcoming episode. We also have other ways you can contact us. One is on our website, which I already mentioned. What is the other 3 ways they can contact us?
You can contact us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Just search Secondhand Film Critics.
So if I counted right, that is 5 different ways they can contact us.
Yeah, sure.
So if the FBI is listening and you want to talk to us about our comments, there are 5 different ways that you can talk.
I just like to listen to heist podcasts, okay?
Well, and you said you don't like murder.
And I
so
don't
you are
like murder.
In the clear about the murder question.
I am a non-violence
You are saying
anti-violence, anti-war. I am a pacifist to all who are listening, especially the FBI.
But not a pacifist for Jules.
No, because that's not violence or harm. You're stealing back things that were already stolen from people. Like, you know that they stole those jewels from Native people, and they stole those jewels from other people. Like, when the Nazis pillaged everything. Like, that's what's in the museums. Wow. Someone's got to steal them back and return them to the rightful owners.
Did not think that this is what we were going to be talking about in the Goodfellas episode. So our next episode is very exciting.
So exciting. Oh my gosh.
is a very exciting episode. We will be talking about The Irishman, Kayla's rewatch. We do you want to? Do you want to announce it? Do you want me to?
You can announce it. I'll do a drum roll.
I'll do the first part. So this is our 100th episode special.
Wow! Yes. Can you believe that we have made 100 episodes?
Well, after next episode,
we've made 99 episodes.
Yes, but this ain't one. But it will be.
So yeah, we're talking about our 5-star movies. So those are movies that we have rated 5 stars.
Wow.
Which is, you might be listening to that and thinking, wow, how are you going to talk about all those movies in one episode? Well, if I got news for you, I have only rated 24 things 5 stars on Letterboxd. So,
and I have rated 34 things 5 stars.
So we don't got a lot. We're not even going to probably talk about all those movies, but we...
We'll mention them, maybe give a sentence, because we got to get through them all. But we wanted to just kind of get these out as our gift to you, you know? Maybe give a little explanation about each of our 5 stars. I've been definitely, like, I've been trying over the last month or and a half maybe to, like, hone my list down, make sure each one I want on there, which has been a good exercise, because there's been a couple that I've
been so far
been needing to rewatch, and it's nice to know, like, all my 5 stars that I have are ones that, like, I want to be 5 stars, you know?
Yeah,
this is such a petty thing. Like, I like, if you want to rate something 5 stars, just do it. This is just for my own self-satisfaction.
Yes, of course.
I don't know, but it's an exciting episode. I'm excited to just celebrate 100 episodes, because that's a pretty big milestone.
Yeah, that's crazy. Honestly, I can't believe we've done that.
Well, after this episode, it might be our last. We're in danger soon with all these comments we've been making. But
yeah, a little rest, both of us.
Hopefully, we'll make it long enough to make that.
Who's knocking on my door? That's the FBI. Well,
FBI, hey, open up! Open up! We heard
that's,
you.
That's the name of us. That's the name of us. Our Scorsese movie.
FBI,
who's
open
that
up.
Knock, who, no, who's, that? Who's that knocking on my door?
Who's that knocking on my door? The FBI.
It's me, Henry Hill, and Tommy, and Jimmy.
Joe Pesci, and Cowboy Matthew McConaughey.
Cowboy Matthew McConaughey. Do you have anything else to say after this episode?
I do not. I got nothing else for you. Just me.
Until next time. I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And we're
your
second-hand film critics.
Bye.